When attacked by a lion, he flees into the water and waits there until the attacker gives up. A territorial bull marks his territory with his body scent. And in the animal kingdom, he probably has the most famous backside in Africa. I am the Safari Guide. My name is Frank, and in this episode, I will take you into the world of an animal that is seen on many safaris, but all too rarely truly noticed. The waterbuck. He stands in the water in the shallow shoreline area between reeds and grass. He is a calm animal, actually very inconspicuous. And perhaps you notice something. Something that cannot be seen. Take a deep breath. Can you smell him? Waterbucks have skin glands that produce a musky secretion. That is basically nothing unusual. Many animals have that. But with the male waterbuck, it takes on a whole different dimension. You can often smell an old territorial bull from several hundred meters away, provided the wind is right. The closer you get, the stronger this heavy, musky scent becomes. And this secretion serves two functions. First, it acts as a kind of waterproofing for his coat. The waterbuck often stays in the water, and that's exactly why this helps him. His coat becomes more water repellent and dries faster on land. And secondly, the secretion also serves as a way to mark his territory. The waterbuck bull marks his territory with his own body odor. So he doesn't use dung, urine, or rub scent glands on trees or bushes. That's what many other animals do. With the waterbuck, it's different. He himself is the territorial marker. You often read and hear that crocodiles and lions avoid waterbucks because of this smell, supposedly because their meat is inedible. But that's not actually true. Lions, leopards, wild dogs, hyenas, and even crocodiles all like to hunt and eat waterbucks. The smell is not a protection against attacks. By the way, females and young animals smell much less strongly. They also have these skin glands, but they produce nowhere near as much secretion as a fully grown bull. Their scent is much more subtle and is often only noticeable from close up. In the open bush, I usually wouldn't recognize a female or a calf by its smell. That has a clear advantage, inconspicuousness. A territorial bull wants to be seen and above all smelled. Females and young animals want to attract as little attention as possible. Especially calves spend their first weeks of life well hidden in dense undergrowth. A strong personal scent would lead predators straight to them. The fact that females and calves don't smell as strongly is an important part of their survival strategy. A waterbuck rarely lives more than 5 kilometers away from a permanent water source. It drinks daily, usually several times a day. The waterbuck sweats a lot, and that costs fluid. A lot of fluid. But for the waterbuck, water is much more than just a place to drink. It is also its place of retreat. If a lion attacks or a hyena comes too close, it flees into the water. That is unique among antelopes. If necessary, it will go into the water up to its chest, sometimes even up to its nostrils, and it stands still and waits until the attacker moves on. Because lions and other land-dwelling predators really don't like getting wet. So, yes, and now we also know where its name comes from. Waterbuck. What does it eat? Mainly grass. It isn't particularly picky, it takes whatever is available. Short, long, tough, and soft grass. If available, of course, it prefers high-quality, protein-rich grass. But overall, it is not a gourmet. Occasionally, it also eats leaves and aquatic plants. It has also been observed eating marula fruits that have fallen from trees. And there is another very interesting item on the waterbuck's menu, baboon dung. In the dry season, when protein-rich grass becomes scarce, waterbucks actually eat baboon dung because it contains undigested plant matter and important nutrients. And the waterbuck can really use those now. This isn't a preference, it's pure pragmatism. You can see what the waterbuck looks like on my website safariguide.online. I've uploaded some of my photos for you there. Now I'll describe the animal to you. Most often you'll read large antelope, gray-brown fur, horns. Yes, that's all true. But it doesn't capture the most important thing. What truly makes the water bug unmistakable is one very specific feature: a white circle around its rear end. It looks as if this ring has been painted on, and many safari guides compare the ring to a toilet seat. And I guarantee you, with this comparison, everyone can immediately recognize a water bug, at least from behind. By the way, the white ring is the water bug's follow me sign. When the herd flees in danger, the white ring pattern on the rear becomes clearly visible. It's a signal that tells the others, "This way, stay close to me, follow me." Even in dense bush or tall grass, the ring is hard to miss. And this way the herd stays together and no animal gets left behind. It's especially important for the young animals to stay with the group. The water buck is large and powerfully built. The bulls reach a shoulder height of about 1.20 m and weigh up to 270 kilos. Females are smaller and a bit more delicate. The coat is coarse and somehow looks shaggy. As the animals get older, their coat also gets darker, and in old bulls it almost looks like chocolate. Females and younger animals are noticeably lighter. The coat is colored gray-brown. The horns are very distinctive. And importantly, only the bulls have horns. They are deeply ridged, first curving backward and then slightly forward. The longer and more massive the horns are, the older the animal is, and their horns can grow to be over a meter long. Water bucks have other striking markings. These include light areas on the neck, light spots on the throat and snout, and very distinctive white eyebrows. When a bull lifts its head and stretches its throat, these markings are clearly visible. However, this is no coincidence. It is part of its communication. It is a threat signal toward other bulls that might enter its territory and compete with it. A territory is a clearly defined area and is controlled by a dominant bull. Two things are crucial here: water and good grass. Without water, the water buck cannot survive, and without food, the territory is uninteresting for him and for the females. The boundaries are invisible to us humans. However, they are clearly recognized by the other water bucks through scent. A good territory therefore means above all one thing: access to resources and thus also to reproduction. A territorial bull therefore defends his territory vehemently against other bulls. From the side, he presents his full body size and the length of his horns to the intruder. And his message is clear: I am bigger than you. Go away, you have no business here. If this message is ignored, it leads to a fight. And with water bucks, this is no game. This is a fight for resources, and they fight with great ferocity. Sometimes this even ends fatally for an animal. If the old bull loses, he returns to the bachelor group or moves on alone, as a bull without a territory. The love life of water bucks begins, as so often in the animal kingdom, with the nose. The bull tests a female's readiness to mate through what is known as phlegmon. We already know this from the zebra in my podcast episode number 3. In doing so, the water buck rolls up its upper lip and slightly raises its snout. This facial expression, which might look funny to us humans, actually serves a very precise function. The bull channels scent molecules to a special sensory organ in the palate, the Jacobson's organ. And so, within a short time, he knows whether the female is ready to mate or not. If the answer is clearly yes and the female finds the bull attractive, mating occurs several times in short intervals. After a gestation period of about 8 months, usually a single calf is born. Twins are very rare. And immediately after birth, the mother eats the afterbirth completely. No trace is left behind, no scent, and thus no clue for predators that a young animal has just been born here. The calf stands on its own legs within about half an hour after birth. And that's necessary because a helpless young animal would be easy prey in the savannah. The mother hides the calf in dense undergrowth for up to a month, and there it lies and waits. Several times a day, the mother returns to nurse and carefully licks the calf clean, regularly, thereby minimizing scents that could attract predators. Several females and their calves live together in herds. Usually, there are between 6 and 12 animals. These herds are not permanent groups. They wander around, split up, and come back together again. What connects them is their proximity to the waterhole and the boundaries of the territory in which they move. Young bulls that do not yet have their own territory form bachelor groups, where they spar with each other, butt heads, and practice. The crucial question for such a teenager is, who will one day be strong enough to claim a territory of his own? When such a bachelor group passes through the territory of a dominant bull, they are usually tolerated. However, only under one condition, the young bulls must signal submission. Their heads remain lowered and threatening gestures are avoided. The territorial bull recognizes this behavior and tolerates their presence. I find the system of the so-called satellite bulls particularly fascinating. These are younger, lower-ranking bulls who live permanently within the territory of a dominant bull, sometimes for years. And they support him in defending the territory against serious rivals. A kind of silent pact develops. You fight for me, and I leave you alone. But if one day I become too old or I die, then you will be my successor. The change of power here happens through patience, not through violence. That sounds very diplomatic, and in a way it actually is. Of course, an animal of this size has enemies, and for the waterbuck, the list is long. The greatest enemy of the waterbuck is the lion. It is the most common cause of death, and they hunt waterbucks deliberately and in a very strategic manner. That means one or more lions block the way to the water, while the others launch the attack. And when you see a waterbuck in full flight, it's an impressive sight. It can reach speeds of up to 50 kilometers per hour. But if the escape route to the water is cut off, things get dangerous for the waterbuck. But even then, it is not an easy prey. The waterbuck defends itself, and especially the bulls with their horns can seriously injure the lions. Leopards, wild dogs, and hyenas complete the list of predators. Hyenas in particular are a serious threat to calves. Cheetahs also hunt young waterbucks. Then there is also the danger from the water, namely from Nile crocodiles. When drinking with the waterbuck's head lowered close to the water, there is always the risk of a sudden attack from the water. And the next time you see a waterbuck standing on the riverbank while on safari, stop for a moment. Take a moment. Look closely at how it lifts its head, how it stretches its throat, how it stands in the water and eats. Those who have knowledge also see more. The waterbuck is an animal perfectly adapted to its habitat. An animal that uses its own body scent as territorial marking. An animal that signals to its calf with a toilet seat-shaped marking, "Come with me." An animal that eats baboon dung during the dry season because it needs nutrients, and an animal that waits patiently, whether in the water or as a satellite bull. And maybe, if the wind is right, you can even smell it. This is Africa as I love it. Thank you for joining me on Safari today. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to support the Safari Guide, please check out my Patreon page. With your financial support, you help me continue this podcast independently and ad-free. And in doing so, you make it possible for new episodes to feature deeper research and even more stories from the world of safaris. Because that's what this is all about, not just seeing animals, but understanding them. You can find the link in the show notes. Thank you very much. Until the next episode, Frank, your safari guide.